Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as a team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. Does it ever feel like you're being pulled in a dozen different directions? From the daily grind to major life challenges, stress is a constant. But being overwhelmed doesn't have to be. Today, we're doing more than just talking about stress. We're making a plan to stress less. If you're ready to take a deep breath and find some calm, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Adam Keller. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner here at Lister Army Health Clinic in the Department of Mental Health. I'm going to be your host today, a guest host. I've been fortunate to be on here a couple times, but I'm glad to have an invite back. Today, our topic is how we manage stress. It's a good topic to touch point on after the first of the year, coming off a busy winter holiday break and jumping right back at it. You know, it's something that we need to kind of also normalize, but just say, how can we manage it better? All right, I want to introduce our guests that are with us here today. We have Sergeant Major Cleland.
Hey, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major Garrett Cleland. I'm the Senior Enlisted Advisor here for Lister Army Health Clinic. Been here for about 6 months now. I've been married to my wife for 15 years. We have a 14-year-old son, an 11-year-old son, and then a 4-month-old baby girl. So we're kind of dealing with the full regalia of all things family and the nuances of starting over as well. So glad to be here, sir.
I'm glad that you're with us today. And we also have Mr. Brent Eubanks.
Yes, sir. Glad to be back. This is my third Lister Talk, so glad to be back to participate. I have been here since January 2020, so 6 years, and I'm one of the clinical social workers on staff with Lister Army Health Clinic.
I've been here for a little while, about 4.5 years, so I've been lucky to be here at Lister. This is the longest I've been anywhere, so that has been a stress reduction for me and my family. I know that's one of the stressors our military folks have is moving often. And I'll just kind of start with Sergeant Major Cleland. You've had a couple of quick moves probably in the last couple of years.
I have, sir. And to that point, you were talking about stability. You know, my family's kind of experienced the exact opposite. For my kids, this will be their fourth school that they've been to in 4 years. That's a lot of stress on them, but that kind of puts stress on the parents too, trying to create that stability and do what you need to do to make sure that they have as much as you can create.
Yeah. We also want to, we said we want to normalize stress. Stress is a normal physiological and psychological response. It's what keeps us alive. It's just what keeps the food on the table. It keeps the gas in the gas tank. Keeps the paycheck coming, keeps your family and yourself healthy. It's when it gets to a point where it's not manageable, that's when it becomes a problem. And there's some things that we want to kind of look out ahead of time, and kind of forecast. What are some things that we could kind of plan ahead to kind of reduce stress, Mr. Eubanks?
So in my work with individuals here at Lister and also with my work with group members in the group that I run weekly, we talk about identifying what are acute stressors in your life, what are stressors that have kind of come up here in the last, week, month, 6 months, and then what are chronic stressors? What are stressors that have just kind of continued on throughout your life that you just can't seem to manage? And I think one of the most important things is trying to identify what's within that individual's locus of control. What is it about them that they can control these things that are creating stress in their lives? And in terms of coping skills, I think, obviously exercise, having an outlet for stress reduction, having a good support system, maintaining both your physical and your mental health, because where the mind goes, the body follows, and vice versa. And also, trying to manage expectations of your individual selves. I mean, we are not, superhumans, and we can only do so much. And I think we have to recognize, what are our limitations, in our daily lives.
You kind of hit right there on the head, what is in our locus of control? What are things that we can control and what we can't? Managing things within their control and not catastrophizing of things that are out of their control. That can be influenced by family. It can be influenced by the media. I mean, people can spend too much time on TV. That can increase the amount of stressors. But, when we talked about managing stress is also planning for it. So over the last couple of years, Sergeant Major, how have you and your family kind of planned for these changes?
You know, really from our standpoint, it's, you know, looking ahead at everything we can look ahead at and control what we can control. I'm a big self-talk guy. So we talk about managing stress and dealing with things. I try to preach this to the family too. You know, the thoughts that are going on inside your head, even if you're just recycling stuff over and over again, you know, that's affecting all these other elements within your body. You know, whether you know it or not, you can be raising your blood pressure, your heart rate, you know, putting yourself in an agitated state just by what you're thinking. And no one else can control that portion. You know, that's 100% on you. So just kind of looking at the positive, even with some of these situations, you know, yeah, this is our fourth move in 4 years, but for the first time in many years, we're near additional family and additional support system. So kind of looking at how to frame these different things so, you know, you appreciate what you have at the time. We talked about, you know, managing stress in here, and I think it's about learning about yourself too. So for me personally, my wife knows and I know that if I can take about 30 minutes to an hour and just sneak in here to the office on the weekend and, you know, rewrite all my sticky notes for everything that has to be done, kind of corner everything off on my desk, make everything look nice, that allows me when I get home to be present in the moment as opposed to like being at home and just be thinking about all these things that I need to do. When I do that, I feel like I'm set up for the rest of the week and I'm able to move forward. So I think it's about figuring out internally what are those little checklist items or those little things individually for you that make you so, you know, you're more tolerable, agreeable, and, you know, better to able to interact with your family.
And sir, to your point, practicing mindfulness is a means of managing stress, you know, trying to be present in the moment. You know, if we're depressed about something, our thoughts are somewhere yesterday, last week, last month. If we're anxious about something, our thoughts are somewhere tomorrow, next week, next month. So neither one of those time frames are happening right now. Because right now, at this moment where we're all sitting around recording this podcast, that's the only moment that we have control over. So trying to be present and mindful in the moment will help manage stress levels in our life.
I've heard somebody say it one time, you know, essentially there was a circle. Inside the circle, it said your thoughts, your emotions, your behaviors, and your physiological reactions. And then everything outside of that was the environment. And that's the 99%. But the 1% that you can control is inside that circle. And that's what you have to focus on because that's where you actually have some influence.
Another thing with worrying too much is how it can impact your sleep. You can just have racing thoughts and have a hard time getting your sleep. So it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of second and third order effects to having, you know, not being able to manage your stress.
And practicing good sleep hygiene is very important to managing stress. I mean, we all know that we need, you know, typically 8 hours of sleep. However, some will say, well, as long as I get an even number of hours of sleep, I'm okay. Yes, as long as that number is 8, because from hour 0 to 5, your body's in physical repair mode. From hour 6 to 8, your body's in mental repair mode. So unless you get that full 8 hours, you know, your body's not repairing itself fully physically and mentally. So again, another reason to, you know, get adequate sleep. And then it also affects, you know, different conditions, you know, diabetes, heart disease, all those things. So, you know, it does have a, you know, strong connection to our physical health.
And you brought up adequate sleep. And I actually just had this conversation with someone yesterday. We're talking about eating a bunch of sugary things and like sweets right before bed. And people are like, oh, that's a myth. You know, it doesn't affect you being able to fall asleep. But in reality, it may affect you falling asleep, but also it can affect which level of sleep, which cycle of sleep you get into, which, you know, affects all the repairs you were talking about and your ability to recover and wake up the next day feeling refreshed.
We want that good restorative sleep, because if we don't have that, we're not going to be able to function at our highest level the next day. I just wanted to hit a little bit on our folks out there that are nearing retirement. It's something that I'm experiencing here in the next 8 months or so. You know, I've been in the Army about 25 years on active duty. Just for our folks out there that are nearing retirement, I'm one of you. I'll be retiring this summer, and no matter how many times that I've helped patients navigate the challenges of retirement, it helps. It does help, but I'm still experiencing the stressors of retirement. Can't get around it. Planning, it's all about planning and keeping yourself and your family in the conversation. You know, you got to plan financially. You need to make you know, start early if you're looking for employment opportunities, and just find out what do you want to do? What do you want in that next chapter of your life? If you've been in the Army for a while, it's kind of like what you know. You're told where to go. You're told where to report to. You're told when you have time to eat, when you have time to sleep, what to wear. you know, I have to figure out how to dress myself. There are stressors, but you know, it's all about take it in stride and don't wait to the very end to do it. That's what for our transition assistance program folks, they tell you to, you know, plan a couple years out. It's hard to do when you got a busy career, but really it's time ahead is going to save you in the long run. So I'll be out of the uniform here later on this year, but I'm really glad that I've been able to, you know, work here at Lister with my colleagues and teammates, but battle buddies. You need to always keep your family in that conversation. Maybe your spouse has been following you around for the last 10, 15 years, and it's time to give him or her an opportunity to kind of, you know, what are their dreams? You know, do you still have kids in school? I have a child in high school. He's a junior, so we're going to wait until he finishes high school before we leave the area. Just things like that. You know, we've talked about it. We've planned ahead and, you know, kind of look out where do you want our forever home? You know, do we want to try to get closer to family? Are there, you know, employment opportunities for the next chapter of your life or your spouse to do? But it's keeping your family in the conversation, both your spouse and your children, just to keep your family happy and healthy.
And Colonel Keller, in regards to, you know, the stress of starting, you know, the next chapter of your life, I see a lot of service members come to my office and they are very concerned about, you know, well, what am I supposed to do next? This is all I've ever known. And my comment to them is, well, you know, I'm assuming you didn't know anything about the Army when you joined and you matriculated through it and were able to be successful. So there's no evidence to support that you're not going to be just as successful in chapter two of your life as you have been up to this point. And I thank you, Colonel Keller, for being a good leader to us and being a good role model for us there in behavioral health.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Brent.
I think that's kind of the stress associated with it too, because looking at even from my journey getting to here, you know, being at the 19-year mark, I was 6 days out of high school when I joined the Army. So I don't really remember what life looks like on the other side. I really don't know what life looks like. So when you think about half your life in an environment like this, it's definitely daunting to look at crossing over to the other side.
Retirement's a stressor for a lot of people, but there's tons of stressors out there. It could be starting a new job, going to a new school, starting a second career, having a big meeting, being able to prepare for the next presentation. Everybody has their own bit of stress. And, you know, it's how we respond to it and prepare for it, you know, how we can kind of cope with those stressors.
And the top three stressors for individuals in the United States right now, number one being financial stressors, number two, work or job-related stressors, and number three, health concerns, which I think all of us at any point in our life can probably relate to either three of those or all three at one time.
Yeah, there could be an event that hits kind of all those keys. All those key things, have a health related stressor that impacts your finances and keeps you from work, you know, that kind of hits them all.
And resiliency is a spectrum, you know, it's not one size fits all. What could be a catastrophic thing that just cripples me could be another Tuesday for you. And that's when we get into the individual coping skills and figuring out, you know, what is it that you do to overcome stress in those circumstances to build that internal resiliency?
And to speak to resiliency, there's an activity that I do in group where I take a dollar bill from my wallet and I ask the group members to pass it around. They can fold it, they can crumble it, they can do whatever they want to do to it. Just don't rip it. And it comes back to me. And when it comes back to me, I ask them, okay, what does this still remain? And they'll say a dollar bill. And my response is exactly. So, you know, life can fold us, crumble us, stomp on us, whatever. It doesn't diminish our value, and we're still resilient people and can bounce back from things.
Anyone ever chew on the dollar, sir?
No.
You always get it back.
I always get it back.
You know, everybody manages stress in different ways. Some things that I find that helps me manage stress is just spending time with family and keeping, you know, my mind and my body busy. You know, I like to work on projects at home, work out in the yard. You know, it could be anything, anything where I can exercise my mind and my body at the same time, you know, at a manageable level. I like to stay moving. You know, of course, I like to chill out and relax too. But, you know, of course, any weekend, I'll have some type of project going. And, you know, that can be a very relaxing time for me. Listen to an audio book, listen to some music. And that just kind of, that's how I manage stress. Just kind of recharge the batteries. Sergeant Major, how do you manage stress?
So for me, I'm a daily reset kind of guy. I kind of joke that, you know, I'm a fake extrovert because all day is smiling. But, you know, by the time I get home, it's kind of like social battery drained to the minimum standard. Well, when you have a four-month-old at home, that's not going to work. So my reset kind of when I get home, first thing I do is I kick my boots off, throw some comfy shoes, some slides, house shoes, something like that on, help out wherever I'm needed, you know, there in the moment, kind of check in with everybody. And then when I get a chance to take a shower and I have like 10 minutes of like some show, The Office, Parks and Recreation, something I've watched 5 million times, you know, just kind of playing in the background. And when I come out, you know, I'm a brand new man at that point, feel great, refreshed and ready to kind of take on the day. And, you know, kind of the exact opposite. When I'm home with my family, you know, that's when, you know, my stress is relieved just hanging out with them. So on the weekends, you know, that's usually not even a thing. But it's getting to that point on the standard day to come home and be able to be present with my family. I'm also big about music, audiobooks as I'm like driving or walking around the house doing stuff, and then reading stuff before I go to bed.
You listen to Lister Health Talk podcast.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
All right, but you, Mr. Eubanks, what are some things you do yourself?
So my go-to is music. I'm a huge music nerd, so I can spend hours and hours and hours looking up old concert footage on YouTube and just, you know, nerding out on that stuff. I also like working out when I can, and when I'm able to be more consistent with it, the better. But those are my two go-tos.
And I think that we're going to have a topic in the next month or two about keeping ourselves healthy, nutrition, working out. You know, that's obviously really good way to cope with stress is physical activity. We won't touch on that this episode, but you'll be getting it really soon. All right, so what do you do when you can't manage your stressors? So first thing you do, self-aid, buddy aid. You want to, what, you know, you want to do some self-help, you know, find some mindfulness activities, you know, search out some things to help you manage yourself. Take out time for yourself. One strategy is scheduling time to worry. Then you worry about it, and then you move on. The next would be finding someone to speak to, someone to talk to, a sounding board, a friend, a close friend, family member. And then the next level would be those first line folks that can help you out that aren't your family, like your pastor, chaplain here on post, the military family life counselors. You know, most of our units have MFLEX assigned to them. Those are some good steps to take. That military one source is another step. And then that next level that you can get is right here at Lister at the Department of Mental Health. We have therapists here ready to help out, doing individual therapy, group therapy. We have our substance use disorder clinical care or folks that are struggling with addiction and substance use. We have psychiatry services, and we have a family advocacy program. So we have a full complement of a multidisciplinary mental health clinic. So from the gamut, take care of yourself, and you just start working through the steps where you need to be at the right time. So, I want to thank you both for your time today. Thanks again for tuning in to Lister Health Talks, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Lister Health Talks, the podcast dedicated to keeping you and your team healthy and mission ready. Stay healthy, Fort Rucker.